friends of you, Lord God. And God, I thank you that we're also recognized as sons and daughters of Abraham, for we've come to you by faith. And God, I thank you that it's through that faith our lives have been changed and our lives have been found and renewed and given life forevermore with you, Lord, in fellowship with you. So tonight, Lord God, touch every heart and every life and every need and bless each one, Father, whatever the circumstance may be. And God, we do pray that your Spirit would be here tonight to just give us this understanding in the world in which we live today. And God, I do pray for those that are sick and afflicted right now and just need your touch, Lord, in whatever way that might be. I pray for the Dyer family and the sickness that's there, Father, and for the recovery of that. And I pray for Beth, Lord God, that you would just touch her, Lord, and Lexi, Father, that you would touch her as well and bring healing, Father, into these circumstances. And God, for our nation, our president, and the decisions that are being made, God, we do pray as we preempt National Day of Prayer, Father, tonight, as we get ready to just call upon you, Father, that you would just answer these prayers, that which is according to your will. We thank you for it all, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And church, if you agree, say amen and amen. Sunday was a special day. Before you get seated, turn to the person next to you and say, cheer up, sit down. But Sunday was a special day because Peter and Liz, their grandson, I got to dedicate when he was a baby. He was here at services last Sunday morning, 21 years of age. And amazing. And he looks so good. And it was such a blessing. I've seen Steve time to time, run into him at a restaurant and so on. But he didn't offer to buy my dinner. But anyhow, but they told him about that. So anyhow, it was a blessing. I love Steve and his family. They are very special in my heart, too. But I had forgotten that all those years had gone by, and I'm looking at their grandson, oh my gosh, he was just a baby when we dedicated him. Anyhow, how time flies. But speaking of time flying, we got birthdays that are just coming all over the place. For May, we got Michael Day, Peter Renteria, and Jeanette Seaman, and Lori Dawson, and Shirley Stevens, and Laura Padamo, and Jonathan Corral, and Martha Arseniga, and Amy Miller. Wow. So we're going to have tonight's birthday night. So we're going to have a little celebration out there. And so all of those birthdays coming up. Wow. Well, speaking of which, National Day of Prayer tomorrow is, and we are jumping ahead on that, but I received, or in our office, we had received from the Advocates for Faith and Freedom, an organization that I actually belong to, that on tomorrow's National Day of Prayer, President Trump is ready to sign a very controversial religious liberty executive order called the Religious Freedom Order, seeks to provide exemptions for religious people and organizations who object to same-sex marriage, premarital sex, abortion, contraception, and trans identity. As expected, the ACLU is already gearing up for the court battles, but he is prepared to sign that tomorrow for religious freedom. Isn't that wonderful? So you keep him in prayer. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be out very early in the morning because I'm going to a special prayer group meeting with a bunch of pastors in Orange County from the Church United. That particular group is who the one that's sponsoring me to go to Washington later this month. And so I got to show up for the prayer time. You know, what can I say? But this organization is part of the Family Research County of Orange County, something I belong to as well. But tonight, open up your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Tonight, as we're going through this prophecy series, tying it back into our study in Revelation, The Coming Convergence is a film that we're breaking up in parts, and tonight we're going to see a part of it, but I want to introduce it tonight in a way that you'll understand. It's a short segment on this segment of the film tonight, and then the following week, we will get into the rest of it. But tonight, we're going to be speaking about different things, but I want you to go first to Romans 13, 11, and it says, by the Apostle Paul, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And there's a lot of truth there. So, Father God, tonight we pray the blessing upon your word and of this film, the understanding of it, all for your glory in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. And church, if you agree, say amen. So last week, we saw events that reveal what the scriptures say regarding wars and rumors of wars, something that Jesus spoke of before his coming or his return. And he said it would happen in the last days. And of course, we're seeing all of that fulfilled. Last week, the film revealed that. But I remind you also of Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you'll turn there to chapter 4, verse 17. And where Paul revealed to the church, so everything we're looking at in this film happens after the church is raptured. So don't get afraid and just lose your mind and thinking, oh my gosh, this is what's coming up tomorrow? No, but there are signs that point to this. There are evidences that lead to this, and that's what we're studying about. And yet, I do believe we're going to be raptured before those events take place in their fulfillment, but it could start at any time. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Notice it doesn't say that comfort one another because you're going to be hiding out in caves, you're going to go through great tribulation and all that other stuff. No. This is speaking of the rapture of the church. The true church will be taken up. And I believe the children along with it, and I believe it's going to be a day of glory. But how close are we? Well, that's why we're studying some of these events. But if you look also at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verses 1 through 9, "But concerning the times and the seasons," folks, we're there. You're going to see evidences in this film tonight that point that we are. "But he says, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So it's coming, and that's why Paul said earlier, wake up, get ready. And then look down at verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you remember in Revelation 6, it says the great day of his wrath is coming. So we're not there. All of these seal judgments come before that. And as we've been studying in Revelation 6, verses 1 through 17 covers the first half of the tribulation. We examine the start of the seal judgments. And then this, of course, is after the rapture. We notice that the second seal, though, the horse rider, was fiery red. Remember the four horses of the apocalypse. The second one was the red one. And it takes peace from the earth. You're going to hear those words tonight in that tribulation girl. For those of you who were here last week, she kind of is taking you through these different segments. And she talks, by the way, don't pay attention to how she's walking. Just listen to what she's got to say. Even though the words are there, not coming out of her lips, but it's actually produced in the film. But it's taking you to the next journey as a part of it. So you'll hear the tribulation girl tonight, and you'll see her. But she brings up that all of a sudden, peace will be taken from the earth, and then the next thing that's going to happen. And then, of course, the next thing was the black horse, if you remember in Revelation. What did that speak of? Famine. So what has to happen before famine? Well, you got to have a lot of death and destruction, and that will be. But then you're going to have the economy of the world going to collapse in a major, major way. Tonight, we're going to learn a little bit about that. But tonight, our focus is on that economic collapse. And of course, this, of course, will be fulfilled after the church has been taken up. And the economic collapse, the girl will be quoting from Revelation at that point. But in Revelation 6:4, it says that he who sat on that horse will take peace from the earth, and great calamity is going to come. Men will be killing one another. And men will, of course, be thinking, how can I keep all my greed and survive and what's going on? And all of these are people who don't have God. But then there'll be people saying, well, you know, this is crazy. And of course, today they're talking about crazy stuff. Today, astrophysicist Stephen Hawking warns humans, and this is out been broadcast out right now, that he's warning humans must leave planet Earth in another 100 years or you will not survive here. Now, where's he getting that? I don't know. He just said, you got to get out of here for 100 years. And so this planet is not going to last. Now, he brings it up to what he says, we've got to leave Earth. So they're looking for this. they're looking to put people out in space and send them off somewhere. and maybe that's what they're going to say happened to us. We went on the first bus load. The church was raptured. And we were taken plane load. We were taken right up to heaven. I don't know what they're going to say. But he's saying, of course, climate change, asteroids striking the earth, and great cataclysmic destruction, all those things we know are in Revelation. But he's not reading that. Epidemics and overpopulation, he said, are the main causes that this earth will not last. People, humankind, will not last on this earth for 100 more years. Now, don't start packing yet, folks, okay? Because there are other signs, times, and seasons. And that's what Paul was talking about. Our financial world is in trouble now. You may want to keep your head in the sand, but you need to wake up. Right now, our financial world is in trouble. We have an identity theft alone with people stealing your credit card information, $16 billion a year. And by the way, I was just talking about this recently, and my credit card got hit again. I can't even believe it. And I had it in my pocket. I hadn't even bought anything or I hadn't ordered anything, but somehow they got my card information and bought on the internet, and I'm now challenging that and as fraud. And then I had to wait and get another credit card again. This has been ridiculous. I don't know how, but it's like the devil's after me on this one. But RFID, radio frequency microchips, for a $25 scanner, folks, on Amazon.com. I'm not recommending you go out and get one, but you could actually get one and scan somebody's card while they're not even paying attention. You don't need a hand scanner. But there are some stores, I'm not going to say which ones, that have their own little scanner there, and they're working at that store for a minimum wage or whatever, and when you come in, you're not paying attention, and they say, oh, I'll take your car, I'll scan it. No, you say, I want to scan it. But then they'll scan it for you, and it may be scanned information right into their device that they're selling to somebody. So you just don't know. I've talked to the bank about this and the fraud department because it's been really plaguing me personally. But now they have devices even greater than that. Electronic pickpockets are the new age world of today. As a matter of fact, they can walk up and you can have your credit card in your purse as a lady, and they can walk within 5 to 10 feet of you and scan your card, get your birth date, get your code off the back, get all the information on you completely, including your address. They can get it all with this new scanner. Now, this scanner costs more than $25. But it's available and it's being used. And I was watching pictures online. They were walking right past people with their little bag on their shoulder, walking right past them and scanning all their information. They walked up and said, how would you like to know all your information? What? They don't have to touch you. They don't even have to touch you. These new scanning devices are able to read the frequency right off of the card. They don't have to touch the card. They don't have to touch you. This is the latest thing. And so the electronic pickpockets, they're calling them. And they get all the information, and then if they choose, they could take that information and go back to their home or wherever, and they can make a new credit card for you. But they keep it, and they use it. Or they just simply buy things on the internet with your information. So it's in place today. It is now going on to the tune of $15 billion a year. And the government doesn't know what to do about it, except there was one group that said, we've got to put a chip in people's head. And we can put all their information in there, including the medical knowledge, everything. We can get it all done. So this is not a joke anymore. It's being talked about as the only way to solve some of this. Revelation is speaking of a worldwide economic disaster, though. This could never happen before. Why? Because the whole world was never collected globally, but it is today. All of the finances of the world are connected globally, and all these meetings you hear about, the G20 and all this stuff, they're all talking about how the finances of the world need to be understood, how dollars are traded up against gold that they don't really have, and we got countries buying gold up like crazy except the United States, and so all of this is going on today. It's a global economy today. Never in our history has it been, but now it's there. That's what has to happen during the fulfillment of some of this. But the government debt, I don't know how much debt you've got. I don't even know how much debt I've got. But anyhow, I can tell you this. The government debt, this might make you feel better. The government debt today is $23.2 trillion. $23.2. Now, how do you understand that? Well, example. What is a trillion? Take $1 bills, lay them end to end, and stretch them all the way from the earth to the moon. Okay, now do it 200 times. And then you will reach $1 trillion. But then we got to take what our national debt is today, our government debt, and then you got to go, you would be approximately 4,600 times you would stretch that same dollar bill end on end between here and the moon. Now, you say, well, that's a little bit more, but how about you ladies grab a hold of this one? If you spent $1 million a day since the birth of Christ, you would have only spent $787 billion. Isn't that nice? So you could spend $1 million a day since the birth of Christ, and then that would only equal $787 billion. That's less than a trillion. Okay, so what is a trillion? It's 1,000 billion. And they're already talking about, in the global economy, I was reading some articles that they're talking about, okay, where do we go after a trillion? And then they've got it all figured out, by the way. So what's a trillion? It's one digit followed by 12 zeros. So when you start looking at these numbers, you go, oh my gosh, how many is that? And it's one digit plus 12 zeros. So our government debt is $23.2 trillion. On May 1st, a deal was struck to avert a shutdown of our government, and so they said that $1 trillion plus dollars to cover these next 5 months just to run the government. And of this fiscal year, right now, $1 trillion more just to get past this next few months. And of course, Rush Limbaugh said this morning that Donald Trump, President Trump, ought to cancel this out and not sign it and not approve it, and then let them all go figure out what they're going to do to reduce this debt. But with a threat from President Trump that may be a shutdown and what is needed, he said come September, Rush Limbaugh says do it now. We'll see what happens, but because it's got to happen this week. So this shutdown for $1 trillion is just to get him by. How would you like to have that? Okay, so are things spiraling ahead? Absolutely. After the rapture, it will collapse. As a matter of fact, and don't think it's because you're taking yours with you. You can't take your gold with you, you can't take your bonds with you, your stocks with you, or even your change with you. So invest it in the kingdom of God right now. No, because you can't take it with you. So how close is this happening? Well, tonight, Global Economics 101. Let's see it. But thanks be to God, the rapture of the church will come before all of that. But yet, they've put it in such a very graphic way that you can't help but recognize that what we were studying in Revelation is going to happen. That seems very easy to happen. But yet, the reality is, I believe God takes care of His children, He provides for them, and as long as we're seeking Him, He will watch over us. But we shouldn't be fooled, because the world itself is headed in a very fast direction. But thanks be to God, as fast as it's going, that's even that much faster that we're going to be with the Lord. So right now, we be faithful, trust in God, and pray. And tonight, speaking of prayer, I turn this part over to Pastor Todd as he's going to lead us in a prayer time tonight.
Okay. Well, that's the question is, now what are we, the church, to do? We pray, right? And that's ultimately is the hope that we have, is we are to pray. And so tonight, I believe that you were given, do you all have your handouts tonight? If you flip that over on the back side of it, I believe we have kind of a guided prayer that we're going to be doing. When I say guided, what I mean is that we're going to cover corporately as a group several different areas. Now, we've done this several years in a row, and it's very effective because it breaks out several different major areas that have control over society, over life, and over living. And you can see it breaks down into the family, military, government, churches, education, the media, and businesses. And so we're going to, as a church, pray over these areas. Now, we've got limited time. We've got about 30 minutes. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce each section, And as I introduce it, we will corporately go into a time of prayer. That means as you feel led, pray. Try to pray loudly so we can hear and understand what you're saying, and be considerate of the time that others might want to pray as well. And we'll do about 4 minutes per section, and then we'll close off the service. So let's go ahead and go into this time of prayer. The first category that we're going into is the area of family. Family. And of course, that really is the pillar, the foundation of a society. If you want to destroy a society, begin by destroying the family. Isn't that true? And so right now as a church, let's go ahead and just pray for the family in general. And then, you know, you might have some personal concerns and needs as well. Try to be confidential. Don't be airing dirty laundry, but let's pray for families in America. And I'll start us out. Heavenly Father, we just lift up the families in America. And right now, as family is certainly under attack from every different angle, Lord, even not only from the media and from popular culture, but even from politically, the family is under attack. And so, Lord, we pray that we know that the answer to how families ought to be is found in your word. And so we're going to go into the area of praying for our military. You know, oftentimes we think of military as being in the far reaches of the world, but we acknowledge that today many of the United States' enemies are among us, and even as others plot against us from afar. So let's pray for our troops who are actively serving our country each day, not only on bases around the world, but also serving here within our borders. Also consider praying for chaplains stationed around the world, along with the Christian servicemen who unofficially fulfill a role of spiritual leadership. So let's lift up our military. Next, we're going to pray for our government. You know, Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, said, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." So we're going to pray for our government right now. I actually have on the screen something that can possibly help you, lifting up just federal and state leaders, just kind of a memory jog, a reminder of some of those areas that we can be in prayer for. So let's pray for our government right now. Ultimately refers to the body of believers around the world, and God uses the church to bring about the message of the gospel. And unfortunately, with a lot of the things that take place, oftentimes the message of the gospel is watered down. But we need to pray for the church as a whole, and then also as you consider our local church here in Yorba Linda. I put on the screen some of our ministries here locally at this church. So let's go ahead and go before the Lord in time of prayer for the church, both internationally and locally here as well. The enemy certainly is attacking today, and that's our education systems. You know, the postmodern thinking has certainly left its mark on our educational systems today with the introduction of things such as pluralism, tolerance, the rejection of absolute truth, and the obliteration of prayer in public schools, and yet such an important area. And so let's pray for education. And I believe on the screen I've got several different areas in education that you can lift up in prayer. And also of tremendous influence, perhaps on the same level as education, is the media. They actually kind of go hand in hand. The media is a wide encompassing area. You've got print media, you've got social media, you've got news outlets, you've got journalism, you've got entertainment, you've got music. I've got a few of those areas, just a few on the screen, but let's pray for the media right now as well. And the final area that we're going to pray over tonight is the area of business. We need to pray for businesses, both small and large, sole proprietorships, all the way to large corporations. Proverbs chapter 29 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." So let's pray for business in America. Yes, Lord, and we thank you that ultimately you are in control. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have on a night such as tonight to pray together as the church. And Father, we thank you for the strength in prayer because we have an almighty God. So, Lord, we do lift up businesses. We lift up the media, education, the church, government, military. Lord, we lift it all up to you, knowing that ultimately you are in control. And also, ultimately, you have a master plan, as we've seen tonight and as we continue to see. So we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. And by the way, go ahead and stand. If you take, oftentimes, you know, when you're in times of prayer, I mean, your devotional times, I don't know about you, but sometimes you have times of prayer and sometimes you get stuck. You think, well, okay, I should be praying about certain things. Hang on to this memory jogger, because all seven areas are areas that we can be in prayer for and we should be in prayer for every single day. Amen.